Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Velocity of Content. It is Friday, September 10th, 2021. Today, as we do each week, we check in with Publishers Weekly on news from the world of books and publishing. Jim Milliot, PW's editorial director, joins me now. Welcome back to the program, Jim.
Hey, Chris. Good to be with you. It's been a little while.
It has. Good to hear your voice and to have you with us. And, you know, it's just about 2 weeks left in summer, but everyone's mind is already on the fall season, which means plenty of new titles and lots of book-selling activity. PW has surveyed the various regional book-selling trade shows on the fall calendar. And as we might expect, COVID-19 concerns weigh heavy.
You're right, Chris. The fall trade shows have been around for decades. It's where all the regional associations, let's say in New England or California, they get together, the publishers come out, you know, try to solidify, you know, the titles and whatever you want for the fall and holiday. So last year, about this same time, people had been thinking, by fall 2020, everybody will be wanting to go in person, shows will be great, and of course, you know how that turned out. So this year, there was a lot of the same thinking, you know, and it's come springtime when these things need to start getting planned. It was like, got the vaccines rolling out, it's going to be great, everybody will want to get together, so maybe we can have in-person fall shows. Well, as you said, the first show is September 21st in New England, and that one will be a virtual show for the most part. Two trade associations have decided to go in person now. The first one will be October 3rd out in Portland. It's being put on by the Pacific Northwest Booksellers Association. And then 4 or 5 days later in Denver, the Mountain and Plains Booksellers Association is going to do an in-person show. So, you know, I think they were getting a little nervous about a month or so ago when the variant really started to surge. But they decided that they would go ahead. And it looks like, for the most part, the gamble may pay off. They've got good reception from publishers who, you know, are sending close to the usual number of authors who go to these things. I believe Denver will be about 77. Out in Portland, there'll be about 100, which again is close to the numbers that they usually get. Both associations are, you know, have their protocols in place. Everybody must be masked and at least should be vaccinated. And they all are prepared, if their state decides that, you know, lockdowns are coming, they're prepared to shut it down. So there's definitely a bit of keeping their fingers crossed that things are going to work out.
Well, Jim, we've all seen the meme, My Plans and the Delta variant. So we know what this is like. And I guess I have to ask you what this could mean more than just this fall season. Where does this anxiety over in-person interaction leave trade shows at this point? Are they sitting on the bubble?
Yeah, they're a bit, you know. I mean, the big one coming up about a month is the Frankfurt Book Show, which, you know, is the big international show, you know, for a long time now. Last year, it was online only. This year, they're going hybrid in a true sense of the word, where they're going to mix online with in person. But it looks like at this stage of where we are that very few people from North America will be making the trip over to Germany. And the Frankfurt folks have come to accept that that's probably what's going to happen. You know, everybody we've talked to here, with a few exceptions, are not going. Most of the agents here are not going. The larger houses certainly aren't sending anybody formally. I mean, there's still some debate whether they would let somebody who wants to go actually go. Some of the small independent publishers will be going. So we'll see what happens out there. I mean, the thing that we discovered, you know, doing online, and it's true with Frankfurt and it's true with these regional trade shows, that you do reach a lot more people online. You know, there's no doubt about that. It's obviously cheaper and people don't need to leave their offices. So that's a plus, and that's what the regional associations back in the States, you know, were saying when they decided that they would you know, stay online for at least one more year. So they took comfort in the fact that, you know, a lot more booksellers can listen to our programming. So what Frankfurt's really counting on now is that they'll get a lot of support from continental Europe and a lot of people will show up from there, and that they might get some publishers from the UK. And they're going to see how it goes. Like they're limiting it to 25,000 people in person. You know, usually was, you know, 100,000 or more. And they are taking some protocols as well and saying that they could, you know, if worse comes to pass, that they're preparing to go all hybrid, or I'm sorry, all online.
Well, Jim, there's a lot more to talk about than just the COVID-19 pandemic, and a top talking point this fall at trade shows and in bookstores near you and me won't be about fast-moving titles, but will be about slow-moving supply chains. Concerns about delivery delays have risen to such a level that the two biggest trade wholesalers, Ingram and Bookazine, have reached out to accounts to urge they take actions to mitigate problems.
Right. I mean, it's front page news now. I'm not sure how often the supply trade makes it to the front page of the New York Times, but I think it was there about a week or so ago. And this is something publishers have been looking at, you know, for a couple months now, in that so many things have come together that, you know, as Ingram said, you know, it's almost a perfect storm. There's a shortage of truck drivers, shortage of warehouse workers. There is, you know, limited capacity in the United States, printing capacity. As, you know, a lot of people are probably aware, a lot of book printing and almost all the four-color work comes from Chinese printers or other Asian printers. One of the big issues there was, and still remains, is that they have some capacity issues as well. But there's a couple other factors. Ports in the States are, you know, very congested. And the cost of getting books or any other materials from that standpoint into the United States has skyrocketed. I mean, everybody's probably familiar looking at those big containers that those big ships have. I mean, from what I've heard, they used to be $2,000 to rent. Now they're $20,000 to rent. So, you know, that's putting a dent in the publisher's bottom line as well. But right now they're really focusing on just trying to get the books they need in. And, you know, the advice everybody is giving, you know, Ingram has told their bookseller clients, order your books as early as you can and as big quantity as you can, because they're not sure they will be able to get reprints to these stores. And I think, you know, some of the booksellers are also starting to tell their customers, you know, if you see a book that you want and we have it in stock, you should buy it now and not wait for a couple of days before Christmas when, you know, there's a chance that, you know, if you get a hot selling title or two, it may be very difficult to get some of these books are in stock, especially the illustrated books. I mean, if there's a big picture book you want, I would get it ASAP.
All right, Jim. Well, as we come into the weekend, we approach an important milestone, not only in our national history, but in global history. And in September 2001, PW's own offices on West 17th Street offered a clear view that day of Lower Manhattan. It was September 11th, Tuesday, September 11th, against the backdrop of a sky that was an unbelievable blue. Much of your staff watched the Twin Towers fall. And PW staffers in and out of Manhattan that day have recalled the experience for a somber tribute.
Right, Chris. I mean, it was really, really amazing. As you said, we couldn't have had a better view of the World Trade Center from our offices. I wasn't there that morning. I live in Westchester. I was going to go to a book industry study group luncheon marking their 25th anniversary. So I didn't make it down that day, but most of the staff was there. And as you said, they literally saw both the towers go down from the windows. And as somebody is recounting in the story they wrote up, that they would go back between the window and the television almost to say, you know, did I really see that happening in real time? And, you know, to get some validation, I guess. And of course, a lot of people live in the area. You know, our managing editor at the time, his son went to school within a few blocks of there. So, you know, he was rushing out to try to find him. You know, thankfully, you know, everything worked out. But there was some really, you know, very personal stories, you know, and it's, you know, it's hard to believe it was, you know, 20 years ago already.
And readers can check out those recollections in the latest PW. And you were not in the office that day, but you were back 2 days later.
2 days later, yep. You know, as a lot of people said, it was so pretty much an eerie city then, walking through, walking from Grand Central down to 17th Street. But, you know, there, the PW News team, you know, we put together, the magazine still had a go out, and our major focus there was talking about the impact of the catastrophe on, you know, 14th Street and below. You know, that's where the city had, you know, blocked off, and you know, we were three blocks from that, obviously. So, you know, that's what we had focused on. And actually, our editor-in-chief at the time, Nora Rollinson, was remembering that somebody who had a bookstore down there the next week after we ran the story, the way he got through the checkpoints was that he showed him a copy of Publishers Weekly and said, "This is my store. I have to go there." So, you know, that was something to remember.
Indeed. September 11th, 20 years later, Jim, it leaves us all catching our collective breaths. Thank you for that. And thank you for joining me on the program. Jim Milliot, Publishers Weekly editorial director.
Thanks, Chris.
Our co-producer and recording engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. You can subscribe to the program wherever you go for podcasts. And please do follow us on Twitter and Facebook. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for listening. Join us again soon for another Velocity of Content podcast from CCC.